Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Sarah's here.
I am indeed.
And Chris is here as well.
I'm sat over here.
Oh, you big beauty. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a dream is a succession of ideas, images, emotions, and sensations that usually occur involuntarily in the mind during certain stages of sleep. Most of the time, we probably don't remember anything we've dreamt of. Sometimes we may have a vague memory of some weird and wonderful happening in a dream. And yet, on the odd occasion, we might dream something so vivid, it can make us wonder whether it has some sort of meaning. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're asking, do you pay attention to dreams?
So, I'm not sure that I necessarily spend ages pondering over the meaning of them or anything like that, but I do sometimes get quite affected by my dreams. Like, if I've had a really scary one, for example, for the next sort of probably half a day or so, I feel really quite unsettled. You know, especially if it's been not necessarily one where it's like, oh, there was a monster or whatever, but if it's something, you know, oh, something's happened to someone I love, or I actually feel quite like rattled for maybe a few hours.
Oh dear. Are you one of these people who, if you dream your partner's cheated on them or on you, then you've got the hump with them for like the rest of the
you
day?
You get angry with them. Yeah.
Although,
so on a like a really mundane version of that, I do quite frequently have boring dreams that I'm like doing the shopping or something, and then the next day I'll be like, no, it's fine because I bought, you know, garlic or whatever, and then I'm like, oh wait, no, I didn't. So annoying.
Ah, well, it's a bit of, well, it's almost like deja vu, isn't it?
Yeah,
kind of. Not quite, but it's sort of.
Yeah,
getting on that sort of realm. So so it affects your, as you say, so you don't ponder on it in terms of. You spend too much headspace, but yeah, it is affecting you in some way.
It is, yeah. I don't think I'm kind of thinking, why did I specifically dream that thing? You know, some people really love to go, well, what was it that, you know, why was that person in my brain, or why was my brain kind of making up that scenario? You know, I don't tend to dream about like anything that's like. It's always like kind of a bizarre or surreal nightmare if it's a nightmare. So it's not like it'll be something that I've actively been concerned about in my conscious brain. So I don't spend a lot of time being like, what was it that was going on in my subconscious?
You're not worried that it's spilling out into your dreams that, oh my gosh, like, does that mean that I'm really thinking that I'm in love with my professor or something?
Yeah, or like, you know, I secretly want to, I don't know, like, kill my piano teacher or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, not too concerned about that. But
how are the piano lessons going?
I don't want to talk about it.
Gravely well.
Moving on swiftly. Yeah.
So you say the is it if the emotion stays with you, or is it just that the thought of it stays with you? Because there's sometimes I've woken up where, like, I feel this strong emotion.
It's emotion. It's not like necessarily, because I don't know about you guys, but I tend to only have like quite a patchy memory of like exactly the specifics, but it's that I remember how I felt, you know, if it was like real intense fear or anger or whatever it is, and that feeling kind of just like residually sits with me for a while.
Ooh, but you don't tend to look into it, though. You don't sort of think, I felt the fear, therefore I need a new job, I need a new start in life.
Although I think, because I know, you know, some people do think there are certain meanings behind dreams, because there are ones that a lot of people have, which I can relate to, is the one about your teeth falling out.
Do you know what? I've never had that.
Have you not?
I've never.
You've never worried about money.
Clearly, I'm full of money, Chris.
Apparently, it's a worry of lack of money.
I think I'm just afraid of my teeth falling out.
Nonsense. These things...
But it costs a lot of money to repair them.
There are a lot of common dreams, and you can read into them what you like. But the teeth falling out, I never knew anything about this. Apparently, it's losing power, or potentially losing control, or losing your sort of decisiveness, or something like that. There are other ones. Falling is another one.
No, never.
Apparently,
that's
a symbol of fear or fear of failing. The nude one I've had, not for years.
Yes.
When you turn up in a public place, And again, you can read into these things, but you feel like a fake, or you're afraid of people
just
finding out
that
who you really are.
Marcus nude in a public place. Yeah.
down the pub, representing. Flying is another one that...
No, never had that.
That people, I don't think I've had
that
the flying one.
That sounds quite
one.
Fun.
Yeah.
I would be up for that. Apparently, according... There's a thing called the Dream Dictionary. I don't recommend it. And that one says that it can represent feelings of freedom and independence. But then on the other hand, it says it can also indicate a desire to flee or escape from the realities of life. And it's like, well, what? Yeah, I mean, this is all a little bit star signy. You know what I mean? When you start to kind of get into
and surely,
some of that
surely
stuff.
Your experience or context would play a part of that. So if I dream about a dog, in our country, they would say dog is man's best friend. But in another country, a dog would be a pest or food or something different.
Yeah.
So surely it can't be a global or transcendent meaning to these symbols and types that happen within dreams. Or the green. Green, green can often look like life or envy. You know, like, I don't really know if you could apply it, right?
Or the Irish.
Or the Irish, yeah. there's Irish roots in my dream.
Well, I think the common dreams with teeth falling out, flying and all, it's not that surprising that these things are universal, because we're all people at the end of the day. But of course, the interpretation, Chris, as you say, could mean sort of different things and so on, which is why you're on thin ice. Chris, but do you pay attention to dreams that much?
It's a really good question. I think I do sometimes and I don't. I think, like Sarah, if there's like residual emotion throughout my day because of the dream, or if I remember the dream, because a lot of dreams just feel like they evaporate within seconds.
Yeah.
But if it stays with me, then I would probably think about it. I don't know if I'd really search deeply, but when I would really think about it is if it's repeated, then I'm like, that gets my attention. If I've had a dream that's the same dream, which I think I've never had an exact dream repeat, but I would say I've had a dream with a similar, when I say message, I don't mean from the other world. I mean like, let me tell you, I once had a series of three dreams in three nights. And the first dream, I was with a band, like a music band, and it was behind the scenes on Top of the Pops. So for our younger listeners, that was a TV show many years ago where top musical acts are gone. You know what it is. But I dreamt I was with this band, and then at the very last moment, someone handed me a microphone, and I was like, oh no, I don't know the lyrics. I'm not ready. I was confident, but I wasn't ready. The second night, this again dates me, I dreamt that the Beckhams were coming to stay. And I was in my old house where I grew up. And I was like, oh no, we're not ready. Like, the place was a mess.
Ooh,
I didn't probably have
my...
Yeah, and then there was a third dream in the third night. And I was at a wedding and I wasn't in a suit. And I wasn't ready for it. And it was really interesting. Like, that made me take note. I was like, there's something telling me to get ready. And you know, as a Christian, I believe, you know, it's probably God saying you need to get ready for some sort of major life changer event. But that I would pay attention to that. But a lot of the time, I just think maybe my memory is just filing stuff out from the day. Do you know what I mean? Like,
was this shortly before you and I met?
It was. Yes. Yeah.
Your the life is Lord. About get, to change.
Yeah, yeah. Get ready, big boy.
Yeah.
Something mega's coming your way.
And then you walked with dry ice and light behind you.
Because we were at Laser Quest.
Yes.
And life's been a dream ever since.
Indeed it has. Well, there's a sleep medicine doctor at Yale Medicine, obviously, who says that most people remember their dreams when they're awakened in the middle of a dream or in the first few moments after a dream has ended. But the memory only lasts for a short time unless you write it down or repeat it over and over in your head, which is, of course, you know, you are treading that memory path over and over again to kind of stamp it in your brain. But there's a good chance you'll forget the dream, and it's actually likely that it's more common to forget dreams than it is to remember them, which is why sometimes, you know, if you see something in the day, it sort of reminds you of, oh, hang on, it was a dream I had, and some nonsense, or, you know, there's something sort of tucked away there. But it is quite fascinating.
Do you, pay attention to your dreams?
Well, if I may, I'll come to that.
All right.
No.
Generally speaking, no. But there are a couple of exceptions. But the whole idea of dreams goes back thousands of years. The ancient Egyptians were very into dream interpretation, according to the history books. People with vivid dreams were considered to be blessed with special insight, and many of their dreams have been found recorded on various sort of manuscripts, the right word, but papyrus, is it?
However
you know, vellum. That sort of thing. Vellum, indeed.
What's vellum?
I've never heard that one. Yeah. What is vellum?
I am a historian. It's some kind of animal hide.
Careful. Careful. We've got a historian.
We have got a show
who listens to this show.
I would never dream of taking his place.
There you go. But yeah, the ancient Egyptians, they believed that dreaming was one of the best ways to receive divine revelation. They almost had sort of like professional dreamers, if you will. And their dream, or trusted dreamers, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there was any sort of, pay you for your dreams kind of thing. But like they said that these people who were dreaming, like if they were going into battle, they were, what you're dreaming, you know, that could, we'll interpret it and help us out, you know, and make big sort of almost like government type decisions.
I'd be like, last night I had the most vivid dream that I got a pay rise. Yeah. Weird, hey. So weird.
Yeah. I had a gold crown and everything. Hand it over, big lad. Whereas if you fast forward a little bit more in through the annals of time, Sigmund Freud, the guy in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, he believed that dreams... <That's it. laughs> Oh, dear. That dates us more than Sarah, certainly, Chris. He believed that dreams were not to do with anything divine. He said that he researched this topic extensively. Well, indeed, he concluded that our unconscious minds produce images that can give us insight into our deepest selves, which, of course, back then wasn't a given. He also fancied his mum, which had something to do with it, I think. But he said our dreams are an expression of repressed conflicts and desires, you know, which is what people always say about Freud, don't they? About his obsession with his mother and so on and so forth.
It's quite a Western post-enlightenment sort of perspective, though, to say dreams don't mean anything. I know that if you go most other places in the world, cultures would definitely believe that there was something to our dreams, which I'm a bit like, I don't know, we're constantly reviewing the success or failure of the Enlightenment at the moment, aren't we, in our lives. So I find that quite interesting that he would just instantly dismiss it.
Well, many modern day neuroscientists believe that dreams are just a side effect of neurological processes, which is fair, you know, whatever you may sort of believe. I sort of get that. But I think just to completely write it off as, oh, well, it's just a neurological process, you can think, well, hang on, what process? Now, who am I to say this as a sitting here representing the non-scientists among us, of course? I think this quite interesting, that sleeping is, people have used these kind of words to say, it's like when the brain organizes and consolidates our memories. So it's like our brains are kind of almost like sieving through our memories, with sort of random bits and pieces kind of appearing in as the electrons are pissing around or whatever they do, and you can sort of remember bits and pieces and it's all kind of linked.
But I think that's, that's where kind of, even if it is just like a neurological process, as you say, of sifting and things, because that's kind of how I imagine mine. It's just like stuff's flying around and some of it happens to fall down into the dream. But I don't think that necessarily means it's not useful, because I'm like, you know, there's a reason why you say to people, you know, we'll just sleep on it if they need to make a decision. Because I think your brain is doing that sorting. And
that's right, yeah.
Yes, all right, it might be some random stuff that's popping into those dreams that you're having, but they might still be telling you something useful about yourself. And whether you put that down to, as we say, a neurological thing, you think it's something, you know, like from, like Chris was saying, like from God or something, like whatever it may be, I still think that can be useful.
I don't know why it has to be one or the other. I'm not saying you're saying that, but as in, like, it could be just that, yeah, my brain is, as you said, it's like coming home from shopping. It's filing things away in the right places throughout the day, and it kind of a bit of a download. But then equally, there could be more meanings or within there. Do you know that Paul McCartney credits getting the melody for Yesterday in a dream?
No way.
Was it Yesterday? I thought it was A Day in a Life. In the Life.
No, it was Yesterday. And he said for days afterwards he was playing. He said he woke up, the melody was in his dream. He woke up and it was playing. And he was so convinced it wasn't original that he would play it to loads of people, saying, this isn't my song, is that I've heard
who
it.
Who wrote actually, this song?
Yeah, he was basically, in the end of it, he said, I received this dream from somewhere.
That's amazing.
There's quite a few instances where people have, the dream has been the first place where it's appeared. And that sort of stuff as well. So that's where I'm a bit like, you know, it might just be a filing system for our memories, but equally, it could be something other.
Yeah, I find that interesting. I can remember years ago, being the huge Oasis fan that I am, when they were, it was around the time they were probably rumoured to be releasing an album soon or something, I had a dream where I heard their new song, but of course I hadn't heard the new song. And I remember waking up going, oh my goodness, that new song, and I wish I could have sort of remembered it, because it would have been an original tune probably in my head. I'm sure we've all had these, you know, these things. But it's in, when McCartney says that, you know, which is the kind of classic example, isn't it, of something like that. You hear musicians when they talk about writing songs, they talk, I've heard a few musicians say this, it's like they say these ideas are floating in the stratosphere somewhere and you just kind of reach up and grab them, which I quite like that idea. That it's kind of like, well, I didn't brilliantly come up with this with my own originality. Yes, of course there's originality and so on. But that does kind of play into, I think, what you're saying, Chris, that there's the mishmash of what is going into your brain consciously and subconsciously.
Yeah.
And through dreams, you know, it can be that sort of reorganizing and processing, you know.
Yeah, I think
almost like a sort of a computer.
It might come down to whether you believe in transcendence or not, and whether there is anything beyond materialism.
Mm.
And as you said, then that, you know, they could reach out into the other and pluck down ideas. Like I was doing a little bit of research beforehand, and apparently James Cameron, who's the guy who made Titanic? James Cameron.
Yeah, James Cameron.
He credits a dream inspiring the Terminator films. He basically had a big dream and about robots and dystopian future, and he basically woke up and was like, that'd be a great idea for a film, and that's what kind of kicked off the Terminator film series as well. So I think Michael Jackson's often said, you know, that his dreams, yes, that his songs were given to him and so it's interesting, is it, that it's almost like these fully formed ideas just appear in people's minds, and where from?
I wish I had that. I just dream about like going to Sainsbury's.
Yeah, I got the tuna.
I think it's unlikely that one day you're just going to wake up and you're going to have this instant classic song which will last for decades in your mind and go, brilliant, I can shop this round now.
Why do I get a tin of sweet corn and McCartney gets Yesterday? That's not fair.
His previous work may have helped prompt his brain to think in a certain way. I don't know, Sarah. I'm not here to answer all of your questions, but clearly I can answer some of them. Going back to what you said, Sarah, about, you know, dreams being sort of linked to your emotions and so on, there's a couple of scientists who think that there's more than just random processes going on. Now, they don't go too close to the sort of the divine and all that kind of stuff, but they believe that the things our brains are throwing up in our dreams are guided by our emotional states. And this is why people who have experienced trauma are more susceptible to nightmares, for example. Mm. You often hear, if you've ever seen a documentary with sort of war veterans or something, you know, it can be horrific things they've seen, you know, and they suffer the sort of the consequences, if you like, with nightmares, and you know, that's the thin end of the wedge, you could say. But those in this school of thought suggest that through our dreams we actually can process negative experiences while we're sleeping, so we're not too overwhelmed when we're awake. And I prefer that than the whole kind of, they don't mean anything, sod off, that it's just random processes. I think that, because that does fit with a more kind of 21st century Western thought process, if you like. But I think it does add a touch more meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that, because the idea that perhaps if it's something which in your conscious day-to-day is too painful, perhaps, or just too complicated to really try to process, that actually, when you're asleep and, you know, there's that conscious stuff isn't going on, your brain steps in and goes, right, let's work through a bit of this now. And obviously, like you said, especially if that's related to nightmares and things, that can be quite traumatic. But perhaps it is actually like healthy for the brain in the long run.
Yeah, I was talking to someone recently who had a marriage that was previously very abusive. And this is 20 years later. And then she said, actually, for the last year, I've had dreams quite a lot about my ex-partner who was really, really abusive. So, and she's like, I haven't processed it. Like, actually, this is now helping me. Now it's come back up. Like, she did suppress it down. She said, now it's come back up. I think I need to deal with this. So it's funny.
Incredible.
You can't push it out, can you? You can't just bottle these things up. And, you know, it's amazing. Our brain is amazing. We know that as well.
Yeah. But the argument there is, oh, well, that's just, does that have any meaning or does it not? I mean, again, it's not necessarily saying that's something to do with a supernatural being, but clearly there is. You can be quite clinical and cold with this. Mm. You can be too mushy and too ridiculous and start, you know, getting into, I mean, you know, dream codes and symbols and all that. Like I say, it's perilously close to star signs. I mean, the dream dictionary, honestly. To see the letter A in your dream represents the beginning of a new stage. You are moving on to something new and grand. Alternatively, the letter A invokes feelings of superiority and grandeur. It may indicate the name or initial of a person. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, that's all you're getting from the dream dictionary. as I go through every letter.
You can read the rest of it in your own time if you would like to.
Exactly. You just take the word dream out. It's just a dictionary. You just can list up everything with A.
It's bloody Mystic Meg. Another 90s reference.
It was quite interesting, actually, talking about kind of dreams helping you process things. I put a little call out for people who follow us on Instagram, which we do regularly, by the way. So do get involved if you see that happening. But I posed the question to the people who follow us. And someone called Ellie replied, and she said that basically her dreams helped her to understand that she actually had quite a serious phobia. She was having dreams of, she said it was things like Aztec telescopes and things like that, and like of lots of little holes. And now, I don't know if you've heard, there's a phobia called, I think it's trypophobia, which is basically the fear of lots of clusters of tiny holes. So like kind of like if like maggots had been crawling in things and stuff. It's like it's
Swiss
actually
cheese.
Yeah it's not an uncommon phobia, apparently. But she,
this is
basically
funny, because we did an episode on phobias
many
months ago, when it could have been last year. We didn't cover this one though.
Well, and so Ellie actually sent me some pictures of the sort of things, and I found myself being a bit like, ugh. But she realized that she was having these dreams, and her friend showed her this phobia test, and she did it, and she was like, oh, these nightmares I'm having are actually, it's a phobia. And it's meant that she's been able to actually now think about ways of coping with it. And it's quite nice. She was saying that like now, if she starts kind of getting freaked out by that kind of thing, she tries to picture something nice, like honeycomb or something pleasant. So actually those dreams really helped her unlock what was going on in her brain, which I think is really cool.
Goodness. That's cool.
That's mad, that is. Well, yeah, anyone else, Sarah?
Yeah, we actually had quite a varying, as we often do from our lovely listeners, we had quite a varying response. So Laura Hayward said, 100% does pay attention. I don't let them dictate my life, but they affect my day and feelings all the time. So a bit sort of like I was saying.
Can I just say, Laura Hayward is a bit of a plant doctor. And people, if you want to know what to do with plants, you should find her on social media and follow her.
Oh, she might be getting some messages from me then.
Yeah.
Excellent. Love it. We had Paul Staveley said, they must mean something, or why would we have them? But I don't think they predict the future. So he's kind of, on in the halfway there.
They might mean something. They might not. You know. Good luck to you.
Sounds like a Gary Lineker tweet.
One user called Dance Between the Lines said, definitely my subconscious trying to conduct trial and error experiments on real problems, which I love that. And she said, it can also bring up suppressed thoughts. No solution, but it helps me realise what's bothering me. So again, that's kind of that thing of your brain processing stuff. And then I think probably my two favourites. Tim Bevan says, nope. Cheers, Tim.
Go on, Timo.
Looking forward to more insightful messages from you, Tim. And finally, Hetty, who said, I once squashed my nan with a flying fridge in my dream once, so not really.
Oh, well, I hope your nan's okay.
Thanks, guys.
Well, I suppose we should sort of finish up. But I said earlier, didn't I, when you said, do you pay attention to dreams? And I said, unless it's something sort of quite mega. So see what you think of this. I had a dream once, and I remember sort of waking up. It was not a very nice one. But bear with me. I dreamt that I met the comedian Bill Bailey. Very funny man, fine gentleman.
He's on Strictly Come Dancing at the moment, actually, by the way.
Oh, is he really? So yeah. Bill Bailey, very distinct-looking man, of course. Very, very funny. Now, of course, this is a dream, and this no way besmirches the good character of Bill Bailey. Okay, let me make that abundantly clear.
You can still enjoy Black Books.
Exactly. So Bill Bailey, so I met him, and I was like, oh, my goodness, you know, it's funny, actually, because I used to live not that far away from him, and I said, yeah, I'm a big fan of you. I was absolutely loving it that I was hanging out with Bill Bailey. And we were somewhere, I was probably having a drink or something like that. And then he said, oh, come with me. We'll go to this place, I want to go to this place. He said, come with me. And so I said, okay, Bill, you're the man. And I was absolutely loving it. I was like, yeah, we'll go wherever you want. This is going to be great. And we went off. And I remember going down these kind of like little alleyways and stuff going, this is weird. I don't understand what's... And I started thinking, I don't like this. Where are you taking us, Bill? Anyway, we go in and I walk in and he goes, okay. He just wait here, sort of thing, whatever he does. And he walks off into this room and leaves me standing in this room, which has got kind of neon lights on and stuff. And I remember going, I don't like this. I'm somewhere I don't want to be.
Sounds like you're being trafficked by Bill Bailey.
Well, I was in my dream, ladies and gentlemen. This is a dream, okay? I realised that I, in my dream, was in a brothel. And I was like,
Bill, no!
Oh. Yeah, I was like, why have you taken me here? But, oh, this is horrible. And I ran out the place. And I ran out. And as I ran out, I woke up. And I was like, whoa, that was really vivid. That was very, very strange. Mm. Anyway, I kept sort of thinking about this. It was like, that's very odd. Anyway... This was during the Olympics happening in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And a friend of mine, a cameraman, was working there at the time. And I got in touch with him and we were just having a little bit of a WhatsApp message back and forth or whatever. I said, how are you doing? And he said, I'm not feeling too good. I'm feeling quite lonely. I'm feeling a bit, you know, I'm missing home because he was a number of weeks away from his wife and his friends and all the rest of it. And he said, oh, I had a really, really unfortunate happening the other day. I was with a couple of guys and we were like out socializing. And anyway, we all jumped, the three of us jumped in a taxi and we went off. And this guy who was like the main ringleader, who, you know, I really like these guys and this guy in particular, he was the main ringleader. And he was like, oh, okay, we're off to some place. Anyway, we drove and we stopped off at this place and we started going down like these, you know, sort of, these little sort of narrow streets, and I was feeling a bit uncomfortable, and basically they took me to a brothel. Ooh. And I didn't realize, and I really freaked out and I ran out of the place and I ran away, and I was like, what? And I was like, no way, that's mad. I had a dream and I was, as you've described, it was slightly more detailed than that, yeah. But I said, that is ridiculous. And I actually had this sort of WhatsApp sort of chat back and forth to him when I was on my way to church. And so at our church there, you know, we have a little time usually when it's kind of, we make space for members of the congregation to kind of stand up and speak a few encouragements and a few kind of, you know, perhaps divine moments that we may have felt throughout the week. And I actually stood up and shared that and said, you know what, actually, because when I told my mate that, he just was like, oh my goodness, that is amazing. I feel like I'm almost connected to you or
that's
something,
mental,
you know, that
yeah.
makes me, yeah, that makes me feel not feel so homesick. That makes me feel blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. Now, again, you can interpret what you like with that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to push an agenda on you. I'm merely reporting what was a very, very personal experience for me and my mate who was in Brazil. So I told people this. But I didn't mention Bill Bailey at church because I thought, well, it might be a bit unfair, although I'm mentioning him now. Again, Bill Bailey, it was a dream. That man is—he's a fine human being and a very funny comedian. But I didn't mention it because my mate had not mentioned that anyway. So I thought that was a bit of a weird detail. Anyway, as I came out of church and I was going home, my mate went, "Oh, by the way, I completely forgot to tell you that the main guy who I was with, who took us where we were going, who I kind of trusted, looks exactly like Bill Bailey."
What?
Isn't that mad? And Bill Bailey is a very distinct-looking
yeah.
person.
Yeah, he's not your sort of man in the street look.
No, very distinct looking bloke.
So weird.
That's mad.
Isn't that mad?
It's like you were transported into his head and you saw it through his eyes.
It was, yeah, it was mad. The only sort of detail that didn't match up was I was with Bill and there was the two of us, whereas he was with, and there was another guy as well. But I mean, come on, you know, it's as near as damn it. And the other this only happened twice for me. The other one was, in the year 2000, I went and did a camp in America called Young Life Camp. And met loads of great people on there. And there was a girl I met there called Vanessa. Great laugh, brilliant member of the part of the team I was in. Got on very well with her. Now, back in those days, like the internet and so on, people were just beginning to get it in their houses and stuff. So you often exchanged postal addresses. You'd have pen pals, for crying out loud. That does age me, you know. But it did exist, believe me, younger listeners. And so I kept very loosely in touch with a handful of people. Vanessa was one of them. And then you get email, and then Facebook comes along, and you think, oh, bloody hell, I haven't seen her in five or him in 5 years or whatever, or 6 years, whatever it was. And I think probably I checked back through the message. I think in the year 2010, maybe she got married or there was something, and I messaged her saying, how are you getting on and so on. So again, I hadn't seen, and this dream happened, I think, this year or last year. So I hadn't seen her for 19, 20 years. I'd only met her that one time, although it was in a camp. So, you know, like a lot of people, you get to know each other for being in close proximity and working on the same team for someone for a few weeks. But it wasn't like we'd message all the time or anything like that. I hadn't messaged her for probably about 9 or 10 years. Anyway, I had a dream. She was in the dream. And the song Ordinary World by Duran Duran was playing. Very, very distinctly in this dream. And Vanessa was in the dream, and I felt, and again, ladies and gentlemen, I felt that the good Lord was saying to me, you need to tell Vanessa a bit of encouragement and that I'm with her and I, you know, love her and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, well, that's quite strange. Mm. And I actually batted it off. I thought, no, I'm not going to, that's nonsense. I haven't messaged this person who I haven't seen in 20 years. It's not like we kept in touch or anything like that. I haven't messaged her in about 10 or 11 years. We're still friends on Facebook, but, you know, that is ridiculous. Anyway, it's like something wouldn't let me let go of this. But I didn't do anything. It took me 2 or 3 days, I think, to message her, because I thought, oh, for crying out loud, bollocks, I'm just going to do this. This is what if she thinks I'm a massive weirdo, who cares? Yeah. You know, I'll just block her, you know, or she'll block me.
Yeah, as you say, it might be taking out your hands, mate.
and that's the end of that. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna message her. So I said, hi, Vanessa, how are you doing? I haven't spoken to you for years, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. I said, look, I had a dream. You were in my dream. And, you know, you're a bit sad or whatever. I just feel, you know, the good Lord is saying he loves you. Oh, by the way, and I nearly left out the Duran Duran detail. And I said, by the way, in my dream, Duran Duran were playing as well. And it was really, really quite strange. I don't know if that's, you know, anyway, sorry about that. See you later. Bye. That was the gist.
Don't reply because I've just blocked you.
Yeah. And then she responded, oh, thank you very much for your message, etc. That's very kind of you. Yeah, you know what, I've actually not been going to church for a number of years, so I've not been blah, blah, blah. And I thought, okay. And then she said, that's really interesting what you said about Duran Duran, because my uncle used to manage the band Duran Duran. And I really love that song, and it was, yeah, and their music's often meant a lot to me and all this kind of stuff.
Wow. I was like,
that's another weird one. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Of all the songs that wouldn't have just... like, of all the songs you've heard and you know and that could appear...
Yeah, but a member of her family managed them.
Yeah.
I had not, like, not that... It wasn't like 20 years ago that we would listen to Duran Duran, so, and I knew this and all this kind of stuff. She or was like a tour manager for you know, one of their tours, something like that. But there was a deep connection to this band, and again, like, what was going on in her life, it sort of resonated. You know, I won't tell too many details, of course, quite personal, but it sort of again resonated with what was going on. And this is somebody who I hadn't spoken to for 10 years. Even when I did, it was a brief Facebook message and all this kind of stuff, and it just, I don't know, that weirdness is kind of like, how has my brain put that and that and that together? Yeah. I tried to push it out and I was like, no chance. It was almost like I was telling something or somebody, I'm not telling that person that.
Yeah.
But then it was like I didn't have a choice because I felt this kind of constant nudging. And I was like, all right, fine, I'll do it. Here you go. Here's some weird stuff I drank. Oh, that seems to have been... Like, there's no...
Hold on, it was spot on.
It's very strange.
I
very
love
strange
that.
Indeed.
Wow, well done.
So you should
brave.
Pay attention. Pay attention to your dreams.
I think if it smacks you around the face and it doesn't let you go and you try and run away from it, then maybe pay attention.
But if it is a flying fridge hitting you, Nan, then don't.
Absolutely right, Sarah. I couldn't agree more. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. It's been a pleasure having you with us. Do get in touch with us on Insta and Twitter at AQQAPod. Insta's usually the place where people get involved, isn't it, Sarah?
With our
questions that we sometimes put out there. So, if you want to tell us about funny dreams or something like that, well, you've missed out because we've just done it. but for other topics, do get involved. There we are. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thanks, pal.
Thank you, good listeners. We'll see you next week.